With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
Let's go. 12 points in the second half.
The head coach.
Again, his speed. You can't teach speed. You know, he knows how to use it.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in, Bucks fans. A big win tonight in the Big Apple, 103-89. The Bucks beat the Knicks for the second time in less than a week. Three in a row now. Seven of their last eight. If you haven't gathered already, no Steve Sparky Pfeiffer tonight. Anthony Mandela in for Sparky tonight. The mayor, Mitch Ross, on the other side of the
other side of the glass.
A lot to get to tonight. Plenty to talk about in a Bucks win as they continue to stay hot as we inch toward the All-Star break. But going to throw something out there right now. You can find the question on Twitter. Tweet at us there, at 105.7 FM The Fan, or we'd love to hear from you, 414-799-1250. The next time the Bucks take the court, Friday at Miami, the trade deadline will have come and gone. This was their last game before the trade deadline. The Bucks just made a move to get Tyler Zeller in here from the Brooklyn Nets, who they played on Sunday and beat. What is your Bucks trade deadline dream scenario? Do you want them to package something together for a big man? Maybe you want Hassan Whiteside. Maybe you want DeAndre Jordan. One of those two deals to go down. Maybe you want a lethal three-point shooter. Maybe you just want the team to stand pat and not jeopardize the future moving Jabari, Thon, Brogdon, whoever, to make a run now for a player that you might have for one season. 799-1250. Phone lines empty, ready for you to call in. But the Bucks win tonight 103-89. They beat the New York Knicks. They are now 29-23. And the Cavaliers tonight got owned in Orlando. The Magic beat the Cavs 116-98. So with that win, if I'm doing my math correctly, the Bucks are now within a half a game of the Cavaliers for the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference, and a game back of Toronto, depending on how things shake out tonight, for the three seed.
Crazy.
Can you believe that?
What a world,
Seven
right?
of their last eight, they've lost one game, I believe, correct, under Joe Prunty.
They're now 7-1.
Last Thursday in Minnesota. And they just keep winning. This team was in the cellar. They were not in the playoff picture. And now here they are, closing in on possibly the number three seed, where you've got teams like the Cavaliers right now and Toronto ahead of you, who have had your number for the past 2 years. You have not been able to get over the hump. They always find a way to figure you out. And for the first time, if things hold up and you can stay hot, they might have to come to your house for a best of seven when the playoffs roll around. So tonight, Malcolm Brogdon, still out. He's going to be out for a while. Matthew Dellavedova, out 3 to 4 weeks, sprained right ankle. Telly, obviously out, still dealing with whatever he's got to deal with to try to get back on the court. And John Henson out as well. He tweaked his hamstring on Sunday when they took on the Brooklyn Nets. You were down Brogdon, Delly, and John Henson. Three guys who, maybe they're not Giannis, maybe they're not part of the keg or the map, or whatever you want to call the Bucks' big three, whoever you think fits into that big three. But those are a couple of guys that have been valuable role players to your team at some point or another over the past two seasons. And without those guys, you were still able, granted it's the New York Knicks, who are now 23-31 or 32. Granted it's the New York Knicks, you were able to go on a 20-7 run to close the first half. Start, I believe it was a 20-4 run to open the second half.
I'm at the point where I don't care who they play.
And ultimately win 103-89. This team right now seems like, with all the hits they've been taking, and they just keep chugging along, that they're not backing down from anybody. Well, I don't know if it's Prunty, if there's a little bit of fire under everyone from their head coach getting fired, if they really cared about him that much.
But that could be part of it, but I think there's just clearly some different level of confidence in the team and different level of almost attitude.
There's absolutely something clicking. This team has an entirely different tone than they had throughout the month of January, December. There were a lot of games. I can think of a game back in November against the Dallas Mavericks where they just got embarrassed by the Dallas Mavericks, who at the time were the worst team in the NBA by far. They had like one or two or three wins, and they played so flat and brought almost no energy against an opponent that they had no business losing to, let alone getting blown out by. And they should have no problem cleaning up a team, and they get pummeled. It happened against the Utah Jazz as part of that road trip, if I remember correctly, too. And then there would be games against teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, where the players themselves get real pumped up because they grew up watching LeBron James play, or so I would imagine, and they want to show the king that they can go toe-to-toe with him. That's the only way I can reconcile that. Jason Kidd was not doing something to get this team up off the bench and into these games where they needed to be bringing it at a level higher than what they would bring on their own. And we're seeing right now under Joe Prunty that even if it is the Knicks or the Nets or whoever, the Bulls, that they are playing with an intensity to win the game. Sometimes it seemed like under Jason Kidd, they were playing to not lose the game or not necessarily to get theirs. This has never been a selfish basketball team. But there's something going on now that wasn't there before. 799-1250. What is your Bucks dream trade scenario for the trade deadline? Going through the game tonight, the Bucks trailed after the first quarter 26-25. About 4 minutes into the second quarter, Kristaps Porzingis goes down. At that point, the Knicks were up 31-30. He exited the game, did not return. He was grasping at his knee.
That's obviously going to deflate them as well.
Yeah, that's going to take a little bit of wind out of the Knicks' sail.
Much like what happened to the Bucks on Thursday.
Absolutely.
Where they couldn't really get, you know, over the hump, so to speak, and all of a sudden Malcolm Brogdon gets hurt, and then you kind of lose any luster.
Yeah, and this is the NBA. There's not a roster of 25 or 53 guys that if one guy goes down, you've got a plethora of choices to come in and help lift your spirits. It's really hard to make adjustments on the fly when a guy you thought you were going to have for a full 48 minutes is now no longer available. So Porzingis goes down. At that point, the Knicks are up 31-30. He already had 10 points for them, a couple of boards, a couple of blocks, and I believe about 10 minutes of play. After that point, the Bucks then string together a 20-7 run to close the half. They go into halftime up 50-46, and they really do not look back from there. They go on another 20-something run to open the second half. End of the third quarter, it's 76-63 Bucks. And then in the fourth quarter, they're up by a ton, and Giannis is still on the floor. Do you not remember what happened last Friday against this same New York Knicks team, where Giannis is playing in a meaningless game? The decision has already been made. The game has been won and lost. And he is playing deep into the fourth quarter in a game that he realistically is not going to have much of an impact on. And in that game, he left. Ankle was feeling kind of tight. Or loose, I don't know how an ankle injury feels. I don't play professional basketball. And just about all the air got sucked out of Bucks Nation, wherever they may have been watching, tuning in, whatever. And now tonight, against the New York Knicks again, Giannis plays until the 5:34 mark of a game that you ultimately won by enough points that you did not need Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor. You won by 14. You're up by almost 20 at certain points. At any rate, he still got his. He played for 34 minutes. He got 23 points. We'll take a full look inside the box score coming up in a little bit. But we're going to hit a quick break here, get a sports flash from Mitch Ross. On the other side, 799-1250, want to take your calls, or if you want to tweet at us, at 1057fmthefan.com. Trade deadline coming up. What is your dream scenario for the trade deadline if you are the Milwaukee Bucks? Do you want a rebounder, a three-point shooter, stand pat? Maybe you're in the camp of giving up on Thon Maker and you want to see what you can get for him. I don't know what you want. 799-1250, you're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza here on The Fan.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show.
Welcome back, Bucks fans. Hopefully you've been able to find us now. A little bit of stuff going haywire there with the fan extra stream.
Not sure what that's all about.
Glad to have you on board if you missed the first segment. Topic we're discussing tonight, the trade deadline looming Thursday. This was the last game for the Milwaukee Bucks before that trade deadline. What do you want to see the team do? Do you want them to get a three-point shooter, maybe a rebounder, a big man, or maybe you want the team just to stand pat and not jeopardize the team that's already in place? 799-1250 if you want to get in on that. Plenty of room on the phone lines. Time to go inside the box score. Tonight, the Bucks winning 103-89 over the New York Knicks. We'll start with those New York Knicks. Enes Kanter leading the way, 32 minutes for the big man, 19 points, 16 boards, an assist, a steal, and 4 turnovers, followed by Courtney Lee. He had 14 points in 35 minutes, 4 boards, a couple of assists, a couple of turnovers. Kristaps Porzingis, we mentioned also before the break, the unicorn went down, clutching his knee in the second quarter, had 11 minutes of action, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 3 blocks for him. Tim Hardaway Jr., a little bit of an understated performance in this one. Doesn't always show on the box score. He also left this one in the fourth quarter. He was kind of hobbling out with what looked like some trainers, maybe team assistants for the New York Knicks. But in 26 minutes for Tim Hardaway Jr., 8 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover. And those 8 points for Hardaway came at a point in the game when the Knicks were still very much in this one. And I don't know if you could call it a streak, but if the Knicks were at any point in this game putting something together or possibly starting to pull away, if you want to call it that, Tim Hardaway Jr. was getting it done on both ends of the court for the Knicks. And then rounding out the starting lineup for the Knicks, Jarrett Jack, 17 minutes on the court, 2 points, 3 assists, 1 turnover, and a personal foul to the bench. Their bench scoring led tonight with 9 points in 24 minutes by the former Buck, Michael Beasley. He also had 6 rebounds, a couple of assists, a block, and 5 turnovers. Trey Burke, 9 points in 22 minutes, and 4 for Doug McDermott. And 2 of those points for Doug McDermott were so borderline ridiculous that he got those. If you aren't already well aware, the Milwaukee Bucks are not exactly gifted off the boards. They're dead last in the NBA in rebounds per game. There was a play in the second quarter of this game where you had both Giannis and Thon down low. They had taken Enes Kanter out of it, and the shot goes up, bounces off the rim, ball comes down. Thon's hands do not go up, Giannis's hands do not go up, and Doug McDermott, of all people, comes in for the putback layup, which is absolutely absurd that you could have Thon Maker and Giannis Antetokounmpo, two guys that are allegedly NBA center and power forward, double-teaming Enes Kanter, and not only unwilling to put their hands up, but also unable to pull down a rebound and allowing Doug McDermott, the former pride of the Creighton Blue Jays, to crash the boards and get second chance points on that basket. It's absolutely ridiculous. Over to the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis leading the way tonight, 23 points in 34 minutes, 11 boards, also a team high, 6 assists for the Greek Freak, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and 3 turnovers. Eric Bledsoe right there with him, 23 points as well in 29 minutes, 5 boards, 8 assists, 1 steal, a couple of turnovers. Chris Middleton rounding out the Milwaukee keg, also a 20-point night, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block, a turnover in 33 minutes. Thon Maker in the starting lineup tonight in John Henson's place. And Thon had 7 points, including a 3-pointer. He went 1-for-2 from beyond the arc in 22 minutes, grabbed 3 boards, a couple of blocks, and a steal. And Tony Snell also in the starting lineup tonight. As we mentioned, Malcolm Brogdon down as well. Matthew Dellavedova out as well. No points for Tony Snell. He was 0-for-2 from the field, missed his only shot from beyond the arc, did not get a free throw, 0 points in 18 minutes for Tony Snell. He did give you 3 boards, a couple of assists, a couple of steals, and a block. Also had 1 turnover to the bench. Sean Kilpatrick, at times in this game, looked cold, looked streaky at best, but in 16 minutes on the court, he gave you 16 points and a couple of boards, along with 2 turnovers. Jabari Parker, 20 minutes off the bench, he had 10 points. It seems like he's starting to settle in right around that 10, 11, 12-point performance. It's only gone down since he made his debut against the New York Knicks last Friday. Also gave you a steal and a couple of rebounds. Jason Terry, Jet the Vet, 2 points in 19 minutes, a rebound and assist, and 2 steals. Marshall Plumlee, the brother of the former Buck, 2 points in 19 minutes, 6 boards. That was second most on the team. Sterling Brown, 17 minutes, also gave you 0 points, which stunned me because Sterling Brown has been able to give you a lot in the absence of Malcolm Brogdon, Matthew Dellavedova, particularly for a rookie and for a second-round pick. And he was just ice cold tonight. 0 points again for Sterling Brown. 0-for-3 from the field, so it's not like he necessarily had a lot of looks. But 3 boards, 2 steals for him as well. And, of course, the newest Buck, Tyler Zeller, much like the Plumlees, comes from a family of big men who try to make a name for themselves, you would think, as big men, rebounding the basketball, scoring in the paint. He took 1 shot tonight. He missed it. He played 6 minutes in this game, had 2 rebounds, 3 turnovers, and 2 personal fouls. He came in the second quarter. In his first 4 minutes in a Bucks uniform, he managed to turn over the ball 3 times and commit 2 personal fouls. So hopefully, things only on the up and up right now for Tyler Zeller. I would think you would agree with that, Mayor Mitch.
Yeah, he can't do much worse than his Bucks debut tonight.
It's not a good debut.
No, it's not. But, you know, you got what you wanted, I think, with Tyler Zeller.
You can only hope.
And I was in the camp. I was in the camp of, you know, we just need a body, and we got a body.
That's true. We got a body.
I also, if you want to describe Tyler Zeller, I think he's going to be the Tony Snell of big men, where you look at the numbers, certainly aren't pretty, but when you actually watch him on the court, yeah, he's just a guy. He's not gonna kill you, and he's not gonna do anything special.
Yeah.
You know, he might fall into a basket where he drives and maybe dunks one here and there, but for the most part, he's going to shoot when he's open, and he's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine for a backup center making $1.9 million a year.
Yeah.
Not a problem at all.
And that's exactly what he is. He's a backup center. The Bucks are seemingly forming a collection of backup centers to throw onto the court this season.
But all the Bucks have is backup centers.
But Tony Snell was a great comparison because they both didn't score a bucket all night tonight. 799-1250, we're talking about the NBA trade deadline coming up on Thursday. The next time the Bucks take the court, that trade deadline will have passed. They take on the Miami Heat Friday on the road. Want to hear from you again, 799-1250. What is your dream scenario for the Milwaukee Bucks at the trade deadline? You and I, Mitch, have been here quite a few nights in a row. I think this might be the 4th straight night that this guy has been our first call in. Going to head down to Justin in North Carolina. Justin, what's going on, bud?
What's up, guys, man? I just sat here, man, you know, inspired by you guys. Recorded my first podcast with my mentor, my homeboy, my buddy, who also called the Prunty hiring a great Milwaukee decision. And he's been 7-1 since he told me it was great. So good standings there.
Right.
So this is what I like. This is what I liked about Zeller tonight, right? The fact that he shot that corner three and it legitimately had a shot to go in.
Yeah, he ripped that.
I mean, you know, we got a out of you know, what do they call it? Out of making cheesecake out of the other stuff and lemonade out of that stuff.
Chicken salad out of chicken blank.
That was the one. Chicken salad. There you go. But this is a good Bucks road win. I mean, anytime we win on the road, it's good. We got to, and the thing I liked about it, we got to get Giannis out early. We got to get K-Mid out early, et cetera. Some of the things that Snell does on the defensive end are just huge, though, like the blocks, the frustrating the other opponents. But we got out of there kind of scotch-free tonight, man. If Kristaps Porzingis doesn't get hurt, it's a lot closer of a game. But I will take a win for the Milwaukee Bucks by hook or crook. I do not care how we do it as long as we do it. We're, what, a half game back at a fourth spot right now?
That's right.
Also, I have something else to raise your spirits, Justin. The Bucks are a half a game out of the lead in the Central Division right now. One half of a game.
Jesus.
Cleveland got rocked tonight by the Orlando
Magic. In the fourth quarter. And
I told the wife I wouldn't buy any more apparel or anything this year, but I will buy a Bucks Central Division championship shirt because I don't remember the last time I was ever able to buy one of those.
You bet.
So dream scenario for the trade deadline. I'm going to let you guys go so you guys can, you know, get to these millions that you got on hold for the Bucks win again, 7-1. That's 7 out of the last 8. Been a while since we've been 7 over .500. I mean, my dream scenario would have to be, I think, because it's going to be a lot more economical, and same thing as last night, Dwight Howard and Kemba Walker, dream scenario.
What do you give up for him?
Oh, dream scenario, right?
Yeah, dream scenario, but it still has to actually be able to work.
DJ Wilson, Teletovic and Dellavedova.
That sounds great to me. If the Hornets make that trade,
you would really have to convince them that they need to get out of those contracts.
Hey, these the same guys that took Plumlee off our hand for some stupid trade they did last year. So
yeah,
there's still hook or crook. But if we were rich enough to do it, I would love to see the Jordan and Williams trade. But I just think that's going to take like half our team.
All right.
Yeah, that would be. To get DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams,
that's big haul.
Here I am trying to figure out ways to get Dwayne Dedman and Marco Bellinelli from Atlanta, let alone.
I'm like that.
The asking price is high. The Bucks are running out of trade pieces. Justin, thanks for the call tonight, and look forward to hearing you again on Friday, hopefully, after a Bucks win over the Heat.
Can you guys play that old school Bucks song the rest of the night, though, the one that Sparky plays?
Yeah.
We just keep going.
Green
on?
And growing?
There you go. That's it, bud.
We'll see if we can dig it out for you, bud. Thanks again for the call.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Take it easy. There he is. He gets off. You get on board. 799-1250. What is your dream scenario for the Bucks at the trade deadline coming up on Thursday? Personally, I have something in mind that I think could make sense for both teams involved. There's an element of plausibility to it. It wouldn't cost you a fortune. It would fill a need on the team. But I don't know if you're all going to agree if the asking price is too high. We're going to take a quick break here. If you want to take a crack at what might be on my mind for this Milwaukee Bucks team to do, give us a ring, 799-1250. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. You're listening to it on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey guys, this is Jan Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, and you're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks post-game show here on The Fan.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Bucks win tonight 103-89, your defensive play of the game. A lot to choose from tonight. Early in this one, first quarter kind of helped the Bucks pull ahead. hard to say that it was exactly a momentum changer, seeing as the Bucks began to just absolutely roll in the start of the second quarter. But in the first quarter, Eric Bledsoe with the steal, dishing it to Jabari on the other end. Defense into offense, always one of the best ways to have a defensive play of the game. This one courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
And a steal by Bledsoe. He's got Parker with him. Here's Parker for the pound down. Jabari Parker. How much do you love seeing that?
There you have it. Gus Johnson and Steve Novak on the call for Fox Sports Wisconsin. And that one right there, just a little snippet. After that point, that gave the Bucks a 23-21 lead. And there was really no looking back. I believe at that point in the first quarter, that was the eighth lead change, which is a lot in less than a quarter of basketball. But at the break here on the other side,
well, they kind of had me wondering if the Knicks are a bad matchup for the Bucks.
Yeah.
For a second there. I mean, they struggled with them a little bit on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had the extra emotional boost of Jabari Parker and only won by two at mm-hmm. home, and kind of went, you know, were battling back and forth in that first quarter, and kind of the Knicks were in the game for sure, and then Porzingis goes out. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if the Knicks are a bad matchup for the Bucks, but obviously the Bucks were able to impose their will in the second half. So it's good to get a win against the Knicks. And as I mentioned to you during the break, the Bucks were 30-23 at the All-Star break in 2014-15 with Brandon Knight and the boys, Jason Kidd's first season as Bucks head coach. And then they traded Brandon Knight at the All-Star break a couple of weeks later, and losses kind of piled up a little bit. They finished 500 that year. I don't think that's going to happen this year.
I can only hope so, because that trade was, I think, all things considered, more or less a disaster.
Yeah, that...
It did not help you get better in any way.
Well, I'm trying to think down the trade line here, the timeline of the trade. You can kind of go through and look at your asset management. I'm just trying to think. Obviously, reportedly, the Bucks could have had the Lakers pick that I think the Suns used this past season, I want to say. Instead of Michael Carter Williams. Now, that's allegedly, as Leroy Butler would say.
It's all alleged.
That Jason Kidd apparently wanted Michael Carter Williams, saw himself in Michael Carter Williams.
Boy, was he wrong.
And could help Michael Carter Williams take that next step after being rookie of the year the season mm-hmm. prior to that. And obviously that kind of backfired, and you did turn Michael Carter Williams into Tony Snell.
Eventually.
Which we've talked about tonight, is he's just kind of a guy.
Yep.
He's not going to kill you. I don't hate Tony Snell. Never will.
I like Tony
Snell.
But,
you know, yeah, the asset management. And then that led into a horrible offseason as well.
Yeah, it did.
Where you traded a first-round pick or so for Gravis Vasquez, who barely played a few games for the Bucks that following season. You took Rashad Vaughn when, again, allegedly, you could have had Bobby Portis, but mm-hmm. apparently Jason Kidd wanted Rashad Vaughn instead.
Yeah, glad that worked out.
You could really use Bobby Portis right now. No question about that. Probably wouldn't have had to have gone out and get a Tyler Zeller, who used Rashad Vaughn for.
Mm-hmm.
That closed out that trade last night, closed out that disaster of a 2015. You also traded Jared Dudley and Zaza Pachulia for next to nothing
yeah.
in that offseason, which really took away all the veteran leadership defensively, and then the defense fell apart the following
yeah.
season.
It sure did. They took a big step back, too, in the wins and loss columns, which is ultimately where it all adds right. up. But
And they competed with the Bulls a little bit that year in the playoffs. They won two games. Got embarrassed in the final game, 6, I believe it was, here in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think with just this trade deadline coming up here, I don't think you're going to be worrying about that. A little more established talent this time around. And, you know, it's a pretty big trade deadline for the Bucks. I don't know if they're going, just with Jabari Parker's situation and everything, a lot of people think you need to move on from him before you yeah. have to deal with paying his next contract. I, for mm-hmm. one, believe that he's got to be a guy you hang on to.
I think so, too. It's really hard to win in today's NBA when you lose talent like that. We talked about it a little bit on Sunday. He has this innate sense when he gets the basketball in his hands that is really rare for us to see here in Milwaukee. And he hasn't necessarily been able to put it together yet. 10 points, 4 of 9 from the field tonight, 11 on Sunday in Brooklyn. 12 in his debut, or return, I should say, last Friday against the New York Knicks. So he's yet to offensively blow your top off with a scoring night. But I don't want to put the cart too ahead of the horse here. You were breaking down some of those trades the Bucks have made and at trade deadlines and off seasons past. And in that Brandon Knight deal, you got a couple of pieces back. You got the other Plumlee, Miles Plumlee, I believe, back in that deal as well. Tyler Ennis, who, in a sense, it wasn't a trade, but you released Tyler Ennis. The Rockets picked him up to make room on the roster, release Michael Beasley, and then you wound up with Michael Beasley, who helped you win games. And also, you saw it tonight in a New York Knicks uniform. But that offseason, shipping draft picks away. If that's a trend, that the Bucks have these down years when trading draft picks, they are in a little bit of trouble. Because at this point, I don't know how many draft picks they have left. They keep packaging draft picks with some of their fringe players to go out and get different fringe players. And you've seen some of the Bucks' most impactful players, some of their greatest success come from the guys that they draft in-house, whether that be Giannis, Jabari, hopefully when he's able to put it together, Malcolm Brogdon, your reigning rookie of the year, Sterling Brown this year. Some of your best players have been hits in recent years. Maybe not Rashad Vaughn. Jury's still out on DJ Wilson, but some of your best players have come with those draft picks. And when you look at some of the guys that you've traded draft picks to get, the Grievous Vasquez of the world, it kind of makes you scratch your head that management is maybe not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and seeing the potential in the draft picks, because past 4 or 5 years or so, it would seem as though that they are able to turn their draft picks as a small market team into guys that are really able to give you something on the court night in and night out. That doesn't mean they're all superstars. Doesn't mean they're all starters, at least not yet. But you're getting pretty good value for your draft position with some of these picks you've had in recent years. And you also can't sleep on, there have been guys throughout the history of the NBA that are later round draft picks that, when ultimately it's all said and done, yeah, maybe you gave up that second round pick to move Rashad Vaughn and bring in Tyler Zeller, but that second round pick for the Nets, when they make it, could end up being Malcolm Brogdon, Sterling Brown, Jimmy Butler. Every now and again, someone comes down the pike that is a difference maker in the second round. And Michael Redd was a second round pick too, I believe, for the Bucks back in the early 2000s.
Yes, he was. The thing about those trades though this year is that they're heavily protected.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't have it in front of me, but I think that unless the Bucks finish basically in the eighth seed, they're keeping the pick.
Yeah.
The Greg Monroe mm-hmm. trade.
For Phoenix.
The Bledsoe trade.
Yeah.
I believe they're keeping the pick basically unless they finish where they don't want to be. Just outside the playoffs, you know. I think it's like 13 to 19, something like that. It's a weird, funky protection on that. So they'll probably keep their first round pick this year.
Yeah. And that helps.
And it's not going to be a great first round pick, but it's, you know, a high one. It's ideally, you know, it's mm-hmm. going to be in the 20s this year. So.
And that those protections help tremendously. But if for whatever reason, maybe down the stretch here, Jabari goes down again.
Yeah, obviously.
You decide that you have to just cut bait with that because it's this third knee injury. And maybe Giannis one of these times.
Jabari's big trouble if he gets hurt.
And maybe Giannis one of these times that he's having ankle trouble and they keep him in the game a minute too long. That happens. And
barring
all of a sudden.
Injury.
Yeah, barring injury. But all of a sudden, you've got a disaster scenario where a cornerstone of your franchise, Jabari Parker, can maybe never play at the caliber you drafted him to play at again. You lose a huge piece for most of the season in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Again, horrible, horrible disaster scenario. But there is a situation here where, particularly if it's Jabari Parker and those knees that have given him a lot of trouble since playing days at Duke, something happens with that. It costs you a bunch of wins. You drop low enough in the standings that the pick is no longer protected. And now you are scrambling to figure out how to replace what you thought you were going to get out of Jabari Parker because you now no longer have a first-round pick in this year's draft. The trade deadline coming up. Hopefully the Bucks don't do anything to jeopardize the future. Things are going really well for them as of now. 7 of 8 in the Joe Prunty era. 103-89, they beat the New York Knicks tonight. And it was kind of a nice change of pace because they have trouble a lot of times rebounding the basketball. Tonight, they were out-rebounded, but 47-43, they won the game. Bygones be bygones. But with that, there is still a ruler of the backboard.
You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Now it's time to pick the ruler of the backboard. Brought to you by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, loaded with a half pound of Wisconsin cheese. It truly is the ruler of pizza.
Ruler of the backboard tonight presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. For half a pound of cheese on one of these pizzas. And you might be thinking that that's a half a pound of cheese spread out over a really big pizza. No, it's a pretty average size frozen pizza, just piled, just covered in cheese. I know Mayor Mitch, we were talking last week, has had him a couple of times. They have a tendency to perhaps take out some of the equipment you're trying to use to cook them because it is just that much of a cheesy
just
beast.
So much cheese, yeah.
It's just so much cheese that you might have
to
look into.
Shuts down my kitchen.
You might have to, you know, that was a pizza oven, was a little too much to handle for the pizza oven. Regular oven hopefully does the job. Hopefully you don't have to go out and replace your entire kitchen to make way for the Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, but it's worth it. Over half a pound of cheese on the Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Your ruler of the backboard tonight, Giannis Antetokounmpo. 11 rebounds. It seems as though he's your ruler of the backboard most nights. John Henson out tonight. He was coming off a tremendous performance Sunday against the Nets, where I don't think a lot of people in John Henson's time here, a lot of people love John Henson. A lot of people don't look at John Henson as a guy that can be a game changer for you on the court. He'll get a couple of rebounds to help you clean some things up in the paint. He was coming off a really, really great game, one of the best of his career, I would say, Sunday against the Brooklyn Nets. He was out tonight, so Giannis Antetokounmpo, again, your ruler of the backboard with 11 rebounds. We're going to take a quick break here, get a sports flash from the mayor, Mitch Ross, bring things right back. When we come back, get your shot of the game still coming up. We're going to go inside the locker room. Eric Bledsoe, I believe we have, hear from Coach Prunty, and hopefully check in with our WSSP basketball insider, Gary Wolfel. As I mentioned, that trade deadline looming, a big night for him tonight at the Racine Journal-Times, Wolfel's Press Box, Racine Sports Zone. All of that coming up. Bucks win tonight, 103-89.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's Shot of the Game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You heard it right there in the Mayor Mitch Sports Flash. The Bucks won tonight 103-89. The Cavaliers lost tonight. Embarrassed. Blew a huge lead. Falling to the Orlando Magic 116-98. But also tonight, shaking things up in the NBA Eastern Conference standings and the playoff picture as early as it may be. The 76ers tonight beat the Washington Wizards 115-102. John Wall out for the Washington Wizards for the next few weeks. So with that in mind, the Milwaukee Bucks now 30-23, the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. But they are a half a game away from the 3 seed and a half a game away from leading the Eastern Conference Central Division. The Washington Wizards and Cleveland Cavaliers both right now a half a game ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks. Shot of the game tonight on Fox Sports Wisconsin. I don't know if you got a chance to see this play as you're getting the show ready tonight, Mitch, but third quarter of this one, the Bucks are starting to pull away. Chris Middleton gets a steal. Are you familiar with John McEnroe, the tennis player?
I am.
You're familiar with him?
He's the serious guy.
Yeah, he has a lot to say pretty much his whole life.
Yep.
This may have been the first time, and granted, I never watched him playing when I was growing up. It was before my time. It's not often, my understanding, same, that John McEnroe is left speechless. Would you agree with that? Those of you listening,
probably
at home?
Not. He has a comment for everything, no question.
Yeah, not often that he is speechless.
Especially if you're a ref.
Yeah, especially if you're a ref. He was at Madison Square Garden tonight in support of the New York Knicks. And for your shot of the game tonight, Chris Middleton connected with Giannis Antetokounmpo and left John McEnroe speechless. I was watching it on the ABC audio video flat panels we have here in the studio.
I noticed that, yeah. He was
he was speechless. Here's how it sounded on Fox Sports Wisconsin, your shot of the game.
Knocked away and stolen. Here's Middleton. Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Giannis Antetokounmpo for Chris Middleton.
There it is, your shot of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Gus Johnson, Steve Novak on the call. That was a steal from Chris Middleton, a fast break, and a no-look alley-oop to the Greek Freak. That would probably leave most people speechless if I had to venture a guess. Wouldn't you say?
Showtime.
Showtime.
Speaking of the Lakers.
Lakers news tonight?
Well, just the tampering stuff with Magic Johnson. And
yeah.
It's pretty hilarious.
799-1250. Who do you want the Bucks to tamper with? No, I'm just kidding. That is not a good plan.
No, yeah, we know. We don't. It's not hilarious in that sense. It's just hilarious that Magic Johnson
of all people.
Thinks he's an analyst still and just says whatever he wants to everybody. And
it's Magic.
$50,000, that's a drop in the bucket for him.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
But I feel like there's a joke in there that Magic wants something he can't have in Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, he's, he's not going to the Lakers.
No, he's not.
I wish I could say that with 100%, authority.
I have it with about 99.9% confidence. I just don't think, even if.
I just don't want to do this, not yet.
No, I don't either.
I got to give it at least 2 years from now.
I'm just getting used to Bucks basketball being a good thing in this city. I was just growing up. I have the faintest of memories from the days, from the George Karl days with Ray Ray and Big Dog and Sam Cassell and all them. I have the faintest memories. The idea of the Bucks in the playoffs, for me, as someone much younger than most might expect, is that this is a team that most of my time growing up was a joke. And we're finally able to put something together, win on the basketball court. We have a superstar for the first time, a lot of things since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the 1970s. But also a lot of people think that if you want to win an NBA championship in today's pro basketball climate, you need to surround that superstar with other superstars. And depending on what your situation is, no better time to do that than the trade deadline coming up on Thursday. I've been holding on to something that I might like to see the Bucks do this entire show. Nobody seems interested in trying to take a crack at what I think. Justin broke down his dream trade scenario before, hopefully, somehow, getting Kemba Walker and Dwight Howard from the Charlotte Hornets. I wouldn't mind seeing that deal go down if you can somehow make it work. I just don't know what you'd have to give up to make it work.
Yeah,
and I'm also really, really not a big fan of Dwight Howard. There was speculation he was going to come here a couple of years ago, and if I already didn't have a sour enough opinion of Dwight Howard, it certainly was sour after hearing some of the things that he had to say or the thoughts he had about playing in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and that's one of my major concerns too with him. And I know I mentioned on Sunday's postgame show that his personality coming in here, the Bucks chemistry is certainly good now. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah.
The way they've been rolling, they put together some wins, winning cures all. You got a new head coach that seems to have galvanized the team, if nothing else, and playing with more confidence. And, you never know with, you're going to bring a guy in. Chemistry is always an issue. I mean, we talked about, the 2001 team. They brought in Anthony Mason, and that killed the chemistry.
Yep.
He wasn't the same player, and neither were the Bucks. They weren't the same team once they brought him in. So.
And Dwight Howard seems to be that guy since he left Orlando. I mean, he went to L.A.
Dwight's been good this year.
That team was coming off of, granted, you had Kobe Bryant still, you had Pau Gasol rolling, and some of those guys started to get banged up. But he joined a team along with Steve Nash that was more or less should have been championship ready. And he drained that team of whatever energy they might have had.
And just Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard are
It's
oil and water.
Yeah, it's Kobe and Shaq 2.0.
It's even
except
worse.
Except for that Dwight Howard's not Shaq.
Right. I guess, that's a good way to put it. But I just think Dwight Howard's kind of aloof, and he's not necessarily all about winning, whereas Kobe is.
Yep.
And I think Giannis is in that ilk where he's not a social guy on the court.
Yeah.
He's not trying to be friends.
And you'd think Dwight would understand that, seeing as not long before he left there, wasn't it the Orlando Magic that Kobe and the Lakers beat to win their most recent NBA Finals championship? if I remember correctly.
Most recent, but it would have been 2010. And they beat Orlando.
Something like
that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Orlando got there recently with Dwight.
Yeah, he carried that team
there.
Call
it prime Dwight.
And yeah, prime Dwight. And then you also saw him go to Houston. Wasn't happy there. Went to Atlanta. He's from Atlanta, if I believe. Wasn't happy to play there. So I don't know if he's not happy to play in his own home.
He hasn't had a good season in a while.
He doesn't
want to
play. He didn't want to play for the team that drafted him. He didn't want to play in, I guess you can make the case, one of the most exciting cities in professional sports in Los Angeles. He didn't want to play in Houston. He didn't want to play in his hometown. I don't know what gives you the impression that he would be jazzed to play in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Well, right. That's the thing is, like, does Dwight seem to not play well when the stage is the brightest? That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of where his chemistry issues might manifest themselves is, you know, when the Bucks need him, will he come through?
Yeah.
And it just, but I don't think we'll have to entertain these thoughts really.
I don't think so either. And we're going to go into
I just don't picture the Bucks going to get, you know, a major center like that at this point.
I don't see it happening. There is a center that I have in mind, but one guy that does bring it for the Bucks on a more or less a night in, night out basis is Eric Bledsoe. Time to head inside the locker room and hear what the Bucks point guard had to say.
Bledsoe, there it is for three.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, the ruler of taste. We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Eric Bledsoe tonight, 23 points in 29 minutes, along with a team-high 8 assists. Spoke on Fox Sports Wisconsin earlier tonight. Here's what Bledsoe had to say after a Bucks win.
I mean, just keep playing, sharing the ball. I thought we did a great job sharing the ball tonight. I don't know how many assists we had. You know, I know it was a lot. You know, trying to work players back, you know, JP. You know, we got a lot of injuries, so we just try to, you know, get us out, you know, early. And, you know, just have fun.
I know you had 8 assists along with 23 points and 5 rebounds after a 28-point game on Sunday. Do you feel like you're getting back to where you feel like you need to be?
Yeah, I was a little, you know, banged up a little bit. You know, my wrist was hurting, you know, my ankle. But, you know, I think I've been, you know, doing a great job rehab, you know, coming back, you know, getting back healthy.
What will it take to continue to build on this as you guys head to Miami for the third game of this 4-game road trip?
Take it a game at a time. You know, we got a good one here tonight. You know, one of the key players went down. You know, I thought we did a great job of, you know, putting our foot on the gas. And, you know, we owe Miami. You know, we're a great team. We owe them.
There he is, Eric Bledsoe, Bucks point guard. Some talk there. Some nagging, lingering injuries. That's the last thing this team needs, is to have another guard miss time for whatever reason. Hopefully,
yeah, it stinks to have Eric Bledsoe be the one guy you're relying on to stay healthy, because it's not necessarily a strong suit. And he talked about a couple of injuries there, and you just, you know, I have a hard time believing he's 100% right now. But
yeah, well,
we'll see.
If he does miss time, that'll be the job of Bucks head coach Joe Prunty to try to make that work. We're gonna take a break here on the other side. Hear from Joe Prunty. I was going to talk about that trade scenario I wouldn't mind seeing go down, and maybe hearing from some of you. It looks like you've been active with the Twitter poll tonight, so we'll get to some of you in a little bit. You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, here on The Fan.
Hey, Bucks fans. Let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's. Famous for burgers, ribs, fajitas, and margaritas.
Alrighty, if you name the following player tomorrow morning on Chuck and Winkler, you'll win some free food from Chili's. Your Chili's MVB tonight. I love having a superstar in Milwaukee, but it gets a little boring saying this guy's name so much. Giannis Antetokounmpo, your Chili's MVB tonight. 23 points, 11 boards, both team highs, along with 6 assists in 34 minutes in tonight's 103-89 victory over the New York Knicks. Unable to get Gary Wolfel, WSSP basketball insider, in tonight. Busy, busy night for him at the Racine Journal Times, getting ready for the NBA trade deadline, among other things. Hear from Coach Prunty in just a sec, but topic of the night has been your trade deadline dream scenario. And Justin from North Carolina rang 799-1250 before, had a dream scenario. He wanted Kemba Walker and Dwight Howard. Part of, for me personally, a dream scenario is even better if it'll actually, could actually come true. I was futzing around this afternoon with the NBA trade machine, courtesy of the Four Letter Network on their website. And a couple of things that I started, you know, reading some articles. There's a team tonight that beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Orlando Magic. They are trying, supposedly, to shop a handful of guys with new GM John Hammond, the former Bucks GM John Hammond down there now. One of those guys, I think, would be a nice piece for the Milwaukee Bucks. And you'd have to think, maybe, I don't think they're necessarily burned bridges, but that John Hammond might want to get a guy that he was part of scouting, he drafted, that he likes. He might want to get his guys in there, so it could possibly be a good fit for the Milwaukee Bucks. You'd have to give up Thon Maker to make it work. But right now, the Magic are trying to get, quote-unquote, their guys, shed salary, and cut bait with players of an era past. Nikola Vucevic comes with 2 years of control, about, I think somewhere in the ballpark of a $10 million salary, and instantly gives you a legitimate starting center on this Bucks basketball team. You'd have to give up Thon Maker to make it work, but if you don't mind giving up Thon, he could be a legitimate center who's not going to be a superstar on your team. He's not going to take minutes, looks away from Giannis, Jabari, Middleton, Bledsoe, but he'll be that presence in the paint, and he might help solidify you the way that some of you hope that Zaza Pachulia might if you're able to get him back, or Andrew Bogut might if you're able to get him back. Trade deadline looming. I'd like to see that deal go down. A couple of you on Twitter responding to our topic of the night. Wolfman at X underscore Wolfman underscore 41. One more shooter. Marco Bellinelli for Snell, straight up. I don't know if you can get that deal to go down. Some more of you. I'm good unless they can steal a shooter from somewhere. That's from at Rosati's Falls. Just get Chandler or Bogut. Don't be stupid. From Bubba Duncan. So, pretty mixed bag from those of you on Twitter. We'll keep the question
so
up all night.
It's stupid if you don't get those two guys.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, Andrew Bogut is made of glass.
That's true.
And Tyson Chandler only makes about $14 or $15 million a year. So you gotta try to make that line up. And I feel like if Chandler was coming, he would have come in the Bledsoe trade somehow, right?
Yeah, I would have to think.
You know, you're not going to go back to the well.
No.
With Phoenix. I don't know who.
I don't think there's
anything in my head who.
That thing is tapped dry.
Yeah.
You've made so many deals with the Phoenix Suns. Just a couple of minutes left here. Not able to get insider Gary Wolfel. Time now to hear from the head coach.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner. Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I thought it was a very good effort again. You know, held them low 40s, defended the three again well. Rotations good, you know, in terms of guys getting to the spots, running people off the line. And then, you know, again, we always talk about the difference between are they going to get points in the paint and threes, and we've, you know, done a better job here with the threes. But I really like the things that I saw, and we have to just keep doing it night after night.
No, Joe, do you feel like the momentum really shifted with that 20-7 run in the second quarter, and then you guys came out in the second half and just pretty much picked up where you left off?
You know, it's still a close game, right? It's a four-point game at halftime. Things can go any direction. Obviously, we were down 9, and that kind of at that point we started that run, which was great. One of the big things we had talked about in that stretch was making sure we moved the basketball. And then in the second half, we came out, made a few really nice plays, extended the lead, and then just kind of kept going. And I think that's the important thing. Like in the game against Brooklyn the other night, you know, we're up 20 at half, and then in the third quarter we kind of lose the lead and they come back. So it was nice to see in this third quarter where we kind of pushed forward.
No Brogdon, no Dellanova, but Eric Bledsoe stepped up again. Now, how important was that? Most of his assists came in the first quarter.
No, Bled was great. He tremendous. And you know, I didn't necessarily want to put him back in the game, but it did get to 12. It got a little bit closer than we would have liked, and I thought a true professional, you know, a guy that we had had out for a bit and just came in there, two quick plays, and, you know, basically then we got him out a minute and whatever later, but I thought he had a tremendous game with scoring, assists, you know, very efficient.
You guys have won 7 of 8 now despite all the adversity and the injuries. And, you know, the heart of Milwaukee, your guys' big three is really getting it done right now.
Well, it's day by day, you know, and I've got to be ready for that one because it'll be tough. But that's really it. It's each day somebody's got to, you know, we play as a team. Like you mentioned, you know, Bled had a good night tonight. Giannis did a lot of the things that he normally does in terms of points, rebounds. But, you know, keep plugging away. Not bad for a guy, you know, really hasn't, he doesn't know the system, you know, actually overall not bad. I mean, I know he's a very good screen setter, and he got, I think, two offensive fouls on screens, but I think part of it is just learning your teammates, trying to get the timing and the rhythm of not only your teammates, but the offense. But that having been said, I also thought Marshall and Thon played outstanding games for us. You know, got off to a slow start early, but I thought both of those guys played very well as also.
Obviously, you see Giannis do pretty incredible things on a regular basis. So what was your reaction to his dunk on that alley from the third quarter?
You know, yeah. I mean, I think the crowd's response is probably what sort of, you know, set it off. I think for us, it's okay. You know, it's all the things that he does are very, very impressive. You know, shoot, I thought there were a couple of really, you know, Jabari had a nice one on a pass from Chris. You know, I thought there were just several plays where we played unselfish, played the right way. But, you know, not to take anything away from it, but a lot of times you just let, you just sit there and let the crowd make the noise.
What about Jabari now? 3 straight games in double figures. Mm-hmm. Percentage-wise, health-wise, where do you think he's at?
I couldn't even begin to speculate. What I could say is that in those 3 games, I've really liked the way that he's played. I think it's difficult to come back and, you know, like sometimes you try and press and, you know, okay, I got to do it all right now. And he's been very, very good with his pace, playing with his teammates, trying to stay under control and, you know, let the game happen.
There he is, Bucks head coach Joe Prunty. That courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin after the game. Bucks now moving ahead. Trade deadline on Thursday. The Bucks will be back on the court Friday night in Miami, taking on the Miami Heat. After that, they'll hit Orlando and then return home after that. Face the Atlanta Hawks and then also host the Denver Nuggets before the All-Star break. 7-1 the Bucks are with Joe Prunty. And they've now won 3 in a row. Bucks win tonight, 103-89 over the New York Knicks. I'm Anthony Mandela. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show. Sparky back in Friday night. Again, we'll start on this alternate stream that you've been listening on tonight and then hopefully pick things back up on the AM and FM dial. Bucks win tonight, 103-89 over the New York Knicks. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.